And welcome to Box Kickoff. Yes, I am Rock Riley. How you doing, man? I am so pumped up for this game. This is the biggest game since the Super Bowl. I don't care. The Saints are coming in at 4-2. Buccaneers, we all know, 6-1. Division game, Halloween. The fans are going to be out of their minds. They're going to be lit. And it's going to be so stinking loud. The Buccaneers have not played that good on the road. Hostile environment, very good defense. Brady has not played well in the two regular season games. But it is a different year, and the Saints are going to be just loaded for bear. I mean, they are going to be, you realize, they know that the Buccaneers derailed their chances of going to the bowl. They knocked them out, even though that the Bucs had sucked in two regular season games against the Saints. And now they're feeling pretty good, okay? They still think that they're the dogs of the NFC South, and that Jameis Winston was saying, well, really, the Bucs are really not our rivalry. It's the Atlanta Falcons. No, this is a big one, and I am ready. I've been at one Buck all week long. I'm going to tell you what I have seen a lot behind the scenes. Now, the vibe is always pretty good because the team is winning, and they're so talented, and they know that. I can't put my finger on it. It was a little bit different this week, and I don't know why. Just a little bit different. Maybe because they got injured guys that are going to try to go. Antonio Brown, if you didn't hear, AB is the only one that is not playing in this game. He came out Wednesday. He had a crutch. He was talking to Richard Sherman. I did not see him the rest of the week. Gronk, go. Sherman, hamstring, go. A Levante David ankle, go. They're going to go. I don't know how long they're going to go, but they're going to go. All hands on deck for this game. This podcast, Bucs Kickoff, 24 hours before every Buccaneer game, is always brought to you by my good friends at Bill Curry Ford. They have been in business, the Curry name, Tampa Bay's first family of Ford, for 61 years. They're located 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry. You know where you know that stadium right on Dale Mabry? You know where they play the Super Bowl? You know where the Rolling Stones rocked out? Okay? You know that place? They're 1 mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry. Beautiful showroom. And Sean Sullivan is the GOAT. You know how you get a chance if you go to a Buccaneer game to see the GOAT? And by the way, I was in the stands for a half and then in the press box for the Bears game. Wait till I tell you what I saw. Oh, my God. You get a whole different perspective when you're amongst Bears fans. But anyway, Sean Sullivan, you get to see the GOAT and talk to the GOAT. He's always ready to field any question you may have, whether it's buying or leasing or fixing your vehicle. You want it done right and you go to a trusted family-operated business for 61 years. That is Bill Curry Ford. It's Bill Curry Ford. Ford.com. Plenty of ways to get a hold of Sean. Shoot him an email. You can call him by phone. Stop into the showroom and just say, hey, Rock Riley from Joe Bucks Fan said that I can speak with Sean Sullivan. No problem. Sean Sullivan, Joe Bucks Fan, come on out here. Don't forget about that. Bucks, Joe Bucks Fan discount. Make sure you tell them you heard about it from Joe Bucks Fan. They love Buccaneer fans at Bill Curry Ford, home of the nationwide lifetime warranty. Did you hear that? Nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. It is BillCurryFord.com. All righty. Friday, I'm over at the media trailer inside the gate, but on the other side of the gate where the Buccaneers are practicing. We were inside. You're there for about 30 minutes. You watch a lot of the drills. They come out. They stretch on their own. They get loose. Boom, they blow the whistle. The clock is set to 20 minutes. And then you watch and you videotape and you observe, and I really, really observe. And then you leave that gate, and then you can go to the media trailer. But now, since the weather was nice, I was kind of hanging outside. I did a little bit of a video, and the crowd noise that they were pumping in was as loud as I've ever heard it. And it's kind of strange how they do it. It goes, ha! Stop. It just stops after every play. And I was like, wow, but when you're in the dome, like that noise, like after one play, it doesn't just totally stop. I don't know. I guess because maybe they might need to do some coaching in between. Like I told you, they're the only NFL team that I know of, and I've done my homework, that doesn't play music during practice because coaches coach. I think there's something to that. You're here. You can play music all you want with your earbuds, and you can play it in a locker room, and you can play it lifting, and you can play it in your car and all that. But when you get here to practice, we are practicing. And I love that concept. I do. Arians says he couldn't stand it with the music all the time. I think it's great. So maybe that's why. But it's like so loud. And then stops. So when I was, I'll get into this matchup in a second. But when I was driving to One Buck Place this week on Wednesday and then on Thursday, I noticed, well, the first day on Wednesday, I noticed these tractor trailers at Raymond James Stadium. And they were parked in the media parking lot in the grass, that parking lot 5. They were parked all in the parking lot where the players come in and that whole part of the stadium, almost all the way out to, you know, across the street from where the Yankees complex is. I mean, tractor trailer after tractor trailer after tractor trailer. There must have been 50 of them. And I was like, is there a tractor trailer sale here? You know, it's no, the Rolling Stones are here Friday night. Oh, there's that many tractor trailers. That's how big the production is. So I go over to One Buck Place and I'm like, I wonder if they'll do a sound check. Because when U2 was here a couple of years ago and we were over at One Buck and it came back out, and I remember that Edge came out and he signed some autographs. There were some fans standing around and he came out and he said Bono was resting his voice. He wouldn't be signing today. And that was, it was like a mini camp time because I think it was around June. But anyway, so I was hearing that crowd noise and then down. Hearing that crowd noise, down. So now it's time to go back inside the gate and the interviews. So Arians comes out and he starts out. And by the way, the only one that is out for this game is Antonio Brown. That's it. Everybody else is a go. Gronkowski, is he limited? No, he's ready to go. What about Lamonte David the ankle? No, he's ready to go. What about Richard Sherman, I asked, with his hamstring? No, he's ready to go. Like I said, the only one out is Antonio Brown. Everybody laughed. So when the special teams coach takes to the little podium, he's sitting down, I can hear a sound check. The Stones were having their sound check. Yes. And it was carrying all the way over to One Buck Place. And I thought that that was really, really cool. That was a real windy day. But anyway, that's a little behind the scenes story of being over there. But the vibe, you can tell this is a big one because, and every year is different, but Brady did not play good in the two games really against the Saints in a regular season. And this one, they haven't experienced the Superdome just craziness. And it's Halloween night. Arians even said, Arians coached there a year. And he said, it's a special place. What about Halloween? He goes, seeing the first couple of rows with the costumes, he said, it's something else. Also, when you drive in and you go around, you know, you're driving by and you see the area, they're lit. They're freaking in New Orleans and it's Halloween and they're going to have costumes on and they're going to be loaded and they're going to be buzzed out of their minds. And the Saints are coming in at 4-2 and they think that, hey, man, this, you know, we got the defense. This is it. They're good. They're jacked up. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, hopefully, will play a good game. All right. I did go one-on-one with Tristan Wirfs. Very, very interesting. I'll tell you about my experience just real briefly here. I'll get more into it on my other podcast, The Rock Stops Here, where I interview A-listers. But I want to get into detail of that night. It was an incredible night. Incredible night. It was the same night that Brady was doing the Manning cast. But Tristan Wirfs is just a nice guy. He's a big man. And what a hell of a job. Second year. He only gave up one sack. That was to Khalil Mack. And look at what he did last Sunday at Raymond James Stadium against Mack. Mack didn't do anything. No pressures, no sacks, no anything. Really, really incredible. All right. The Saints come in with a very good defense. The Buccaneers have not matched up that favorably with the Saints. But again, like I say, this is a new year. Brady went on and on this week about how good the Saints defense is. They beat you all kinds of ways. They don't blitz a lot, but when they blitz, they're successful. They bring pressure. They're good against stopping the run. Their DBs are good. It's a good defense. And the Saints are very well coached. I will tell you this. They do not turn it over. And Jameis Winston is not turning it over so far. Okay? players this week on the Bucks, including Cam Brate, was talking about it is a battle when we go play the Saints. It's a rivalry. It's NFC South division foes. It's just always, always a really tight, tight, tight game. Now, the Buccaneers were beat up, and like I said, and I don't know if that was, I couldn't put my finger on the vibe. I'm not saying it's bad. I'm not saying it was just lighthearted. I don't know what it was, but you weren't sure if you were going to get some of these guys back, and they're going to go. I think, though, with Sherman, with the hammy, because a couple of years ago, I tore my hamstring, and I went to the same doctor, and he told me at that time, remember Muscle Hamster? And they tried to bring him back a little too quick, and he re-tore it. And that's why he was out so long. Hamstrings are tricky. So Richard Sherman, he did coach last week. Jordan Whitehead, man, what a thumper that guy is. And we were talking with him, and I said, hey, man, what you mentioned Sherman. Well, how was Richard coach? He goes, he was just like our DB's coach, Kevin Ross. He goes, he coached us. We were coming off the field. He was telling us what to do. He was coaching. He was coaching, so that in itself has been a great addition for these young defensive backs. But I think Jamal Dean and Pierre Desir will play outside, and Sherman, we'll see. I don't know. Maybe do they start Sherman? I don't know. Buccaneers-Bears game. Now, I watched half of this game down low in one, what was my section? My father-in-law treated the family to tickets. And he's been so good to me, and I figured, you know what, I will come down. He had a friend of his that was sitting next to him. My wife was there. My son was there. My brother-in-law was there. His friend was there. And we were sitting right behind Bears fans. And I got to tell you, there were a lot of Bears fans. Now, I did run into a Buccaneer employee, not PR, just somebody that's in the know, and he's like, Buccaneer fans sold their tickets, man. This many Chicago Bear fans, like they keep a track. They know who's buying the tickets. A lot of Bears fans just sold their tickets to Bucks fans just sold their tickets to Bears fans. And there was a lot. So there was a group of about, I'd say, 14, 15. They were younger and they were obnoxious Bears fans in front of us. They stood the whole first drive, and then they sat down after the Buccaneers went down. But they were loud. There was also a couple Bears fans that was sitting right in front of us, and she was standing up the whole time and shaking her big booty at us. I'm not kidding you. Just did not care at all. Didn't want to say anything. Or, hey, man, you know, the whole time. And then she and her man, second quarter, late second quarter, he goes, let's get the hell out of here. This sucks. You know, and then they were gone, man. A lot of Bears fans left at halftime. But it is a different experience. But you're not aware, like I wasn't aware of the 600 touchdown. I was aware that Brady threw the 600 TD to Mike Evans, but I wasn't aware that he gave it to that guy until later. I missed out on a couple of things. You know, when you're down in the, there's no replay monitor, but it's also a different experience. You're there amongst the fans, but there was a lot of Bears fans that were just so disappointed. Anyway, Bucks 38-3. They were up 35-3 at the half. Franchise record for most points any Buccaneer team had scored in the first half. That did surprise me. Buccaneers defense, man. Oh my God, Justin Fields had no chance. Now the Bears are not good. Okay, the Saints are a much better team than the Bears. But you know what? You play who you're playing. Bucks D forced 5 turnovers. That D had the 4 sacks. Brady does what Brady does. Evans with the 3 tutties. Godwin 8 catches, 111. Playoff Lenny 81 yards. 180 yards they ran for. There, it's not just the line, man. It was everybody, and Arians did mention that. That was a really, really good game running for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Did you see and hear playoff Lenny mic'd up? And he's laughing every time he gets hit during the game, laughing. I told you guys, I've watched him. He's a different cat. Playoff Lenny's a different guy. He is just so happy to be here. And you got to remember, He was the man. He was a man beast in high school. He was the man at LSU. He was the first rounder. He was the man as a rookie in Jacksonville. And it got down to the end where he was just cut. And then he comes here, and then he is a backup. That's hard to deal with mentally. When you're the man, you've been the man, and now you're just barely hanging on. And then you wake up, and Arians talks to you. You want to get on the ship here, or you want to get off? We'll let you go. Knock it all. Let's go. And he did. And he listened to Brady. And when he was getting his chances, and he was starting to come through, then he comes through in the playoffs. He comes through in the Super Bowl. Now it was going to be split. Rojo and him. Rojo. He is the man again. So he loves it. He's always busting balls during practice. He's always coming out. He's always yelling and ribbing and laughing. And when I saw that video of him mic'd up and listening, you got to see it. It's, you can Google it, NFL video, Bucks. It's hysterical. And then I noticed the comments. Brady thought it was hysterical with the emojis laughing. Donovan Smith laughing. Devon White goes, "You're too big to be cutting like that," and busting his chops. But everybody, you know what I mean? That happens when you're winning. But he is a character. All righty. The other thing is, oh, so when Jordan Whitehead, I asked him, you know, about Sherman, and he goes, he was coaching just like our cornerbacks coach, Kevin Ross, did. Kevin Ross had COVID. He was out for the Chicago game with the list. He was on the COVID list. He's back. Bears coach, by the way, Matt Nagy, caught COVID in Tampa. Just like weeks ago, Titans coach Mike Vrabel, he caught it when he was here. But Arians has stressed with these guys, don't bring COVID back to the building. Don't screw up. Don't get in trouble. And again, once again, there have been no distractions all season long. Nobody grumbling. Nobody this. Look at DeSean Jackson. Oh, my God, man. Now he wants out, demanding a trade in L.A. Aren't you? You're from L.A. You're never happy. You don't have any of that. And there's only one football to go around. There's so many talented guys on this team. Nobody bitches. Nobody gets in trouble. And they've stayed away, too, from that deal. All righty. I mentioned, okay, Lavonte David ankle, Sherman okay, Gronk ribs. Now, Gronk, here's the thing with Gronk. Gronk is staying in really good shape with his legs. I watch him. He comes out every practice. He was even doing this right after he got the broken ribs and a rib and ribs. We don't know exactly. We just know it's ribs. But Jay Glazer from Fox Sports claims he also punctured a lung. He had some major damage done. And I would have thought they even hold him out maybe this game. And then you got another week with the bye week. And then you got Gronk for the rest of the season. But again, I'm not right there. I'm not a doctor. So they know what's best. But he always runs. He stretches. He does these legs exercises to keep himself in shape. Gronk works really, really hard. He comes across as the fun-loving, hey, man, party boy or something. Hey, guys. And he's, I'm telling you what, there's a reason why he's where he is. JPP does not practice. JPP just doesn't play in practice. JPP does not lift weights. JPP's got a finger that is split in two. And he's also got a torn shoulder. And he is a different breed. There are not many like him. But JPP is a go in this game. I don't know how he does it, but they need him. Brady, he looks fine. He looks great. He looks great throwing the ball. He gets rid of it so fast. I'll go into that in a little bit. Because remember, last year, even for the last couple of years, he's had that knee that has needed surgery, and he's worn that like knee sleeve, and he had to get taped up at 7 o'clock in the morning. He doesn't have any problem with that. The thumb looks fine now, healed. And, let me tell you, I'm at practice Thursday, I think it was, and Jose Borgalis, he is the backup kicker. And so we were at the indoor facility, or as the one Joe calls it, the Glazier Shed. And he's practicing kicking off, but he's by himself. And we're standing in the end zone, and he's booming these kicks. And one of the kids, and then he's just walking all the way. Nobody's shagging for him because everybody's got a responsibility that's on that field, that's in that building. Everybody is the ball, but everybody's got their responsibility. Everybody is just, I'm telling you, there's no music and kind of hanging and dancing, man. It's business. And so he's kicking these kicks, and I got my iPhone. And I'm shooting video, and I said, what the heck? Nothing else is going on. I zoom in on him, and I'm looking at him, and this ball's coming right at me. The same thing happened with Jameis Winston years ago, but I was shooting video. I should have just dropped my iPhone and caught it. Try to catch it, right? And then maybe take a couple steps like I was going to run. But I was looking. I had the iPhone, boom, and I didn't. So the ball bounced by me, and it went under the bleachers. So I went and I got the football, and it's the first time in a while that I've actually felt an NFL football. Let me tell you something. Those footballs are hard. They are hard, and they're kind of slick. It's amazing the way these QBs can sling these bad boys around. So I threw it. I've had rotator cuff shoulder surgery. I pitched for so many years in baseball and hardball, all the way up till 50 years old. The first surgery was at 44, had it done again. I came back at 50 and an 18 and over. I threw 7 innings the opening day. I threw the whole season, and I needed to get it done again. That's when Coco Eaton goes, what are you doing? Satchel Paige even had to retire. Stop whipping your hand around. If you want to throw in media games, you want to throw with your son, that's it. And that was it. So I don't throw a football overhand. I try not to because I don't have any pain in my shoulder. I'm pain-free, man. I'm done. So I took it and I threw it underhand back to him as far as I could. I got a whip around motion underhand. And he gave me the thumbs up because Borgalis, because he didn't have to walk that far. And it didn't go that far. I'll bet you it went 40 yards, maybe. And I had such a tingling sensation in my arm. And that's even underhand, like a referee. But I do a whip around, actually. I turn it around. And I had to laugh. But I also had to laugh feeling the football. And I thought, Brady deflated, right? Didn't he ask us to deflate it a little bit? Like, I'll tell you, these balls are not deflated. But anyway, I digress. All right. But Brady, okay. Brady is better right now because he knows the terminology and offense and he's seen everything and he is better this season than than last year. Brady last year against, if you want to look at the Saints, and I try not to go about last year or the year before because it's a new freaking year. But the first game, the Bucs lost 34-23. Brady had 2 picks. One was a pick six. Arians had said at that time it wasn't all his fault. And then in the second game, the Saints, if you remember, they destroyed the Buccaneers 38-3. Brady, 2 picks, no touchdowns. So he went on and on this week on how good this Saints defense is. In the playoffs, in that NFC divisional game, the GOAT had 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. He was only at 55%. But the Buccaneers won that game in the Superdome. I think it was by 10. It was 30-20. And then they went on. The O-line, the Bucs receivers, they're telling me they all got to be on the same page. Arian says you can't have the penalties in this bad boy. No false starts. It is going to be allowed. Now, I am going to get a little bit more deeply into the Saints, but I do want to mention here with, I think, you got to take advantage of Jameis Winston in this game early on. He is going to be amped up. And as good as Brady is, and he is the GOAT, and as big of games as he has played in and winning the Super Bowls and all that jazz, it was a different story going back to New Orleans and playing against the Patriots. If you remember in the beginning, couple of his passes were unusually high. Now, I asked that to Leftwich, and he goes, oh, I've seen him throw high before. We don't look at it like that. That's like a fan. What are you talking about? You didn't see the same thing that I saw? Brady was amped up. Brady even admitted. There's emotions. Jameis is going to have some emotions in this game. We'll see. Now, the Bucs O-line in this bad boy, this is going to be their toughest test against the Saints. Arians said last week the O-line played outstanding, and he singled out Tristan Wirfs. He said what this guy did against Khalil Mack, I mean, he is that good. He is that good. So let me right now bring in my, this is time for my rock lister. Here's Tristan Wirfs. Now, I caught up with Tristan Wirfs at Donovan Smith's cornhole tournament benefiting Autism Speaks. His nephew has autism. He's very passionate about this. A couple of years ago, he did a bowling tournament. Then they had COVID. Then they had to do it outside. And it was an unbelievable event. I don't know if I got enough time to get into this. I want to keep going here on the matchup. But it was the first time in 2 years that we've been able to talk with players one-on-one. Fans were mingling with players. So I went over to Tristan Wirfs. We were there at this event. Most of the offensive line was there. Sherman was there. Levante David was there. They were all supporting Donovan Smith. But without further ado, here's the big man, man. Here is the big man.
I am with Tristan Wirfs. Tristan, how good is this to be able to mingle with fans? It's for a great cause, and you guys are supporting Donovan.
Yeah, it feels great to, you know, be out here because we had all last year COVID. You know, we weren't really able to see fans very much or interact with them this much, you know. So it's great to be out here. We had a lot of teammates come out, you know, come play some bags for a great cause. It's been awesome.
Do you have to pinch yourself coming out of Iowa, landing here, winning the Super Bowl, blocking for the GOAT, and now here you are 6-1?
Yeah, I mean, last year you couldn't have scripted it any better. It was insane. You know, and now here we are this year at 6-1. You know, we just got to keep grinding. You know, it's a long season. Got the Saints next week, a good Saints team, and then, you know, hopefully take care of business and then head into bye week and get healthy.
How good did it feel for you to take care of business against the Bears the way you did?
Yeah, it felt great. You know, I was thinking about, you know, last year's game for a while, you know, people tagging me and everything. So I think this was a game I had circled on my calendar, but, you know, it felt good.
How are you guys able to get this running game going now? Is it a concerted effort? Lenny is rejuvenated, but again, it's the holes that you guys are now opening.
I just think it's you know, we started meeting with Tom, you know, us, the wide receivers, the tight ends, all of us together. You know, so we all know, you know, what each other's doing. You know, we're all on the same page, and I think that's been really beneficial. We know we do that Friday afternoons, and I think that's really helped.
Here's my last one. You're going to go into an environment where it is going to be loud. Now, last year, Tom was saying you really didn't have to deal with that until you went to Green Bay. He said it was the largest 9,000 fans, and, you know, you've had the crowd noise. What about that? Communication will be huge on this next one in New Orleans, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think communication will be big, and then getting back to our silent count. You know, we practiced that all camp and everything. We have used it a couple times this year on away games, you know, having fans back. But I think silent count will be huge next week. And in communication, like you said, yeah, definitely.
Good luck to you.
Thank you.
All right, so there you go. So once again, there's the Brady factor, man. And I, from what I was understanding in playoff, Lenny said it was Lenny. At least Lenny's taking credit for it. Lenny said it was him and Tom. They decided to start meeting on Fridays. They do it for about an hour, and they discuss what they went over, what's been working, what they want to do in this game. And since they have done this extra meeting on Fridays after practice, it's been working. Again, it's the GOAT and Lenny, and they're all on the same page. All right, speaking about being on the same page, I tell everybody, you looking for a vehicle? You want to get your vehicle serviced right? You don't want to get jacked up, you want to maybe lease or look into it, you got questions, then I got the place for you. That is Bill Curry Ford, BillCurryFord.com. Bill Curry Ford is Tampa Bay's first family of Ford. They've been in business, the Curry family, for 61 years. They're located, beautiful showroom, really nice, right up the road, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium on Dale Mabry. They've been in business for 61 years, so that means they're doing something right. Sean Sullivan is the general manager. He'll answer any questions you may have. Maybe you're looking, maybe even like 6 months or something. You want to start getting all your ducks in order. Go to see Sean Sullivan. just there's plenty of ways to get a hold of him. You can email him. You can call him by phone. Stop in the showroom. Say you want to speak with Sean Sullivan. Rock Riley told me from Joe Bucks fan. It's BillCurryFord.com. Two great things. They give you a Joe Bucks fan discount. And also, Bill Curry Ford, home of, this is what I love. I don't know anybody else that does this. Nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles. Go to BillCurryFord.com. All righty. So thank you to Tristan Wirfs. I spoke with Donovan Smith. He said there's no I in team with this team. There really isn't, man. Nobody bitches and complains about their playing time, their numbers, anything like that. I also spoke with O.J. Howard one-on-one. And when I mentioned your health and I said, you know, the Achilles, and he stopped me right there. And he goes, oh, my Achilles is totally good now. Totally fine. So there's no more slow coming back from the Achilles. The Achilles is fine. He had a little bit of an ankle, but I've noticed him and doing the run, watching him in the running, he seems okay. So O.J. Howard's ready to go. He's ready to go. None of this like slow coming back from the ankle. Forget about that. All right, let's break this down just a little bit more. Now remember, the New Orleans Saints had to fly back a very short week from Seattle. They played that game in a driving rainstorm. That'll take a lot out of you. You get back all night. You're flying. You get back, whatever, 6 a.m., early Tuesday morning. That will screw you up. The Buccaneers offensive line, the lowest pressure percentage, according to Pro Football Focus. What they break it all down is pressures allowed and pass block snaps. In other words, when it's a passing play. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are number one in the league at 16.4. Number two in the league for lowest pressure, doing the best job, Cowboys. And then the Steelers are number three. Now, you also have to account of quarterbacks getting the ball out quickly. And I'm telling you, I just watch Brady. It's amazing what he does when he goes out there. He does this thing, even if there's a downtime in between reps, where it goes Gabbert, and then it goes Ryan Griffin, and then it goes Kyle Trask. He will do like running in place, but really, really short. He doesn't bring his knees up. He just does boom. That's what he does with his steps. Then he does boom, boom, side to side, real close. His two feet are close together. He goes boom, 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 boom. All right. Then he takes the ball, boom, boom, he throws it, boom. Then he gets out there. Then he does it. And he's so fast. He, before Clyde Christensen yells ball, that's when they got to turn and throw, or that's when he's already got it out. So Brady, on getting the ball out, is number one of all the quarterbacks in the NFL. 2.51 seconds. You know who's number two? Dak Prescott. You know who's number three? Big Ben, believe it or not. So these veteran quarterbacks, you know, you can have your young running all over the place and being on highlight reels. I'll take me, my Brady. I would even take Prescott. And Big Ben, he's getting rid of it quick. But, I mean, isn't that amazing? At 44 years old, because that's what he does when he's practicing all the time. Brady had the four touchdown passes, the three to Evans. The Buccaneers D picked off Justin Fields three times in this game. The Buccaneers D had four sacks, and the Buccaneers were able to run the football for 182 yards. I mentioned to you on the last Bucs Kickoff podcast that the players like Richard Sherman, who else was telling me, it takes the pride out of a defense. Yes, you want to keep them on your heels. Yes, it helps you with play action. Yes, you don't want to be one-dimensional, just throw. But it takes the pride out, and the Buccaneers were able to run it 182 yards. That was big. Now, let's see what they can do in this thing. Now, the one thing I will say about this, now, the Buccaneers, you know, Joe Bucks fan would call it the den of depression. It ain't the den of depression anymore. The Buccaneers have now won seven in a row at home since last year's loss at Ray J. That was week 12 to the Kansas City Chiefs. That final score was 27-24. They turned it around at the second half, and they were off to the races after that. At home and away, it's been different. And this, I'm stressing to you, this is one of the hardest places to play. This Sunday night Halloween with these fans lit. Okay, let's look at it. Buccaneers at home, 31-29 over the Cowboys, 48-25 over the Falcons, 45-17 over the Dolphins, 38-3 over the Bears. They were up 35-3 at the half. Now that, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers at Ray J are averaging 40 points a game. They're averaging 40 points a game. Away, 23.6. So they just have, it's not been the same. And like last year, didn't have to deal with the crowd noise and all that jazz. And The Buccaneers defense allowing 24 points a game away. Even the defense isn't playing as good. So it's nothing to be alarmed about. It's just something to, you know, to just keep an eye on. And remember, going into this game, Buccaneers D, how about safety Antoine Winfield? I haven't brought him up at all. He blitzed Justin Fields on the first pass of the game. There was the blitz. Todd Bowles called for the blitz on the first play of the stinking game. That's how you get into Justin Fields' head. It was a sack fumble. Russ Cockrell just couldn't come up with it. Russ Cockrell's got this, like, it's a fro, but it's like part of the middle, it's down. And he does a good job, I think, physically. He's doing as best as he could, but he just didn't come up with that. But Antoine Winfield, getting him back. 3 sacks, 2 forced fumbles. How about Jason Pierre-Paul? Doesn't practice all week. 2 sacks, 1 forced fumble with a torn rotator cuff and a broken finger in 2 places. Shaq Barrett had the strip sack and the recovered fumble. The secondary, you had Dee Delaney, you had Pierre Desir, and you had Jordan Whitehead, all with picks. The Buccaneers D held the Bears to 0-for-7 on third down in the first half, 2-for-11 on third down in all 4 quarters. That was a hell of a performance by the Buccaneers defense. Now, we go over to the Saints. Time to get into the Saints a little bit here. Jameis Winston is being held back by Sean Payton because Sean Payton doesn't want to let him just go down the field and go hell in wild. And it's been a very smart move. And it's worked out very, very well. And credit Jameis for buying in, by being behind Drew Brees for the year, realizing that you do not get a third or fourth chance to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. You will be in the land of a perennial backup if this doesn't work here this season, and I'm talking about even in a couple of games, okay? But so far, very good. He led the Saints on a 42-yard drive that ended up with a field goal just before the half. The Saints had an 85-yard drive. Jameis to Kamara. They took a 10-7 lead. Alvin Kamara is incredible. And the Buccaneers could not say enough about him. But they didn't want to burn him out. That's why they got Engram. Melvin Engram. And I read a little bit about that. No need to get deep into that, but the coach and the general manager said that they would have nixed any kind of a trade with Engram if it wasn't to the Saints. They know the Texans are done. This is unbelievable. This is according to what I read from the insider, and that they went to him and said, "Look, if you want to go back to the Saints, we'll do it for you." And when he got there, the Saints played this song when they were warming up and welcome, like the welcome back. He'll be a spark, and you just didn't want to, burn out Kamara. Alvin Kamara in this game, the 13-10 win over the Seahawks, 30 touches, 179 total yards. He's the guy. Kamara touched the ball 50% of the snaps. 50% of every half and again, every snap is either going to Kamara or somebody else. Seattle went up on a Metcalf 84-yard touchdown. Give credit to the Saints on the road in the rain. They bounced back on 2 good drives. The Saints defense totally shut down the Seahawks running attack. So let's look at the Saints, not just in this last Thursday, this last game, okay? Packers. they destroyed the Packers 38-3. Now, here's the thing. Arians has said this. He does not, he throws the first game out the window of any team. You don't know what you got. Your starters haven't played during the preseason. You can't judge a team on the first one. But anyway, the Saints beat the Packers 38-3. Look what the Packers have done since. Then they played at the Carolina Panthers. They lost 26-7. And remember how the Panthers started out so hot? Oh, my God, they're 3-0. Oh, Sam Darnold. Oh, Matt Rhule. Oh, they're the team. And what have they done since? So they beat the Packers. They lose at the Panthers. Then at the Patriots, and they win. That's a good win, 28-13. Mac Jones is still finding himself. They lose to the Giants, 27-21. They beat Washington 33-22, and then they win on the road 13-10. Jameis got into it on the sidelines with Tre'Quan Smith. It was in the fourth quarter. If you didn't see it, it was 3rd and 17. The ball was batted down. Jameis said after the game it was over miscommunication. We all got to be on the same page. You know what, though? I don't mind that. That shit happens. This is a physical game. These guys are freaking, their adrenaline's going. They get pissed. They get pissed off. It's like with your brother. You had a brother. You get pissed off. It happens. I don't mind that at all. Here's another thing with the Saints. They're without their 5-time Pro Bowler left guard, Andres Pete. Now, the new left guard is undrafted Calvin Throckmorton out of Oregon. Vita Vea, Ndamukong Suh. Vita, you should be able to eat. You are going to have one hell of a game. They got their kicker. Now, they've been going through kickers, okay? And these games with the Saints and the Bucs, this could come down to a kick. Will Lutz had a setback. It's a core injury. He ain't coming back, bro. He's out for the season. So they're going to stay with this undrafted rookie kicker, Brian Johnson. But I'll tell you what, right now Johnson is confident. He hit both field goals. It was wet and windy, including the game winner. The Saints have used 4 kickers since preseason. That's another thing the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did not have to worry about. No distractions. Nobody's getting in trouble. Nobody is complaining. And the kicker has been doing well. So there you go on that. One other thing, too. All right, so really, I think this is going to be a damn battle. I think this one is going to be tight. And is Jameis, he's not turning the ball over. They're also not going down the field. They're not letting him. There ain't no risk it biscuit in the Sean Payton deal at all. Brady is Brady. Brady is feeling it right now. He's seen everything. He's making the decisions faster than anybody. 2.51 seconds. Number one in the NFL for quarterbacks. Just think about that. Down. Huh. Here comes his. All right. Huh. 1001, 1002. Boom. Brady has already gotten rid of it. 2.51 seconds, and he usually doesn't. You know what? He was off a little bit. He was human for a couple of stretches with the tight ends, that he was off a little bit, so he is human. But Brady right now is on pace to throw 51 tutties. And check this out. After Brady, because you know how he threw the 600th touchdown? Now, and a couple more after that, was he at 602? Who do you think is number two on the list in the NFL? That would be Big Ben at 403. So Brady, number two in the NFL, is 200 touchdown passes behind the GOAT. Matt Ryan is number three at 359 touchdowns. And Matt Stafford is number four at 301. That's 300 touchdowns, half behind the GOAT. Check this out. Patrick Mahomes. Remember after the Super Bowl, when Mahomes is, he's Brady. Oh, he, and there's a chance he's going to break Brady's records. You know, I'm not saying he couldn't. He's 26 years old. Patrick Mahomes, to tie where Brady is for the 602 touchdowns, Patrick Mahomes would need to average 38 touchdowns this season for 12 and a half more years. How about that? How about that? And, you know, I think it was funny as all get out when, was it on the Manning cast or was it on his Sirius XM podcast? It was one of the two where Brady said, you know, he's asked about Mike Evans said, you know, he accidentally gave the ball away. And Brady goes, how about I accidentally don't throw you any more touchdowns? Like, his sense of humor is good. He's having fun. He's not under Belichick's reign, you know. He's all business when he's on the field. I've seen that. But I really think that's something else. And you know, Brady on the, he was asked about Gronk on the Manning cast, and I thought that this was good. You know, he said, just run away from guys in the other colored jerseys. How hard is that? He was saying that late, here's what happens. He says late in the week, Gronk comes up to him because Gronk really doesn't do as much film study. Now, Gronk, remember Gronk kidded around when he was on the Manning cast and he said he got caught up in it? The Bucs PR staff, Nelson, asked him to do it. And, oh, I don't want to do it. Come on, do it. Do it. It'll be good for the. Come on, do it. And he did it. And then he's glad that he did it. That's happened several times. I've experienced that. Where they're like, oh, can you do this? Can you do NFL Network? And he's like, oh, man, I'm doing it. And then he does it and then he loves it. And so Brady said that Gronk comes up to him at the end of the week and he says, okay, what do I got to do in this game? Because Brady watches all the film. And Brady said, I tell him, get open, catch the ball, run with it. It's not that hard. You're a tight end. You don't have to call plays. Just run and get open. Oh, that was on the SiriusXM pod. That's hysterical. And that's probably good for Gronk. Just catch the ball. And run away from the yellow colored jerseys. You know what I'm saying? Brady was driving home from that game, the Bears game at Ray J. And it hit him where he says, how the hell did we not score 50? We should have scored 50. We really should have scored 50. Suck up missed a field goal. Two other drives ended with a Ronald Jones. He lost a fumble at the goal line. The Bucs had to settle for a short field goal after having first and goal at the one. So when you really break it down, that 17 points at the end of three would have been, instead of three, so it would have been 52-3, but it doesn't matter. But isn't that funny how, like, wow, they should have had 50. Boy, how times have changed. That's how good this offense is. And again, I stress, yeah, the weapons, but it starts up front. That is a tight unit. There's no mixing and matching. Do you notice that? That always, no. Jensen, Marpet, they're all Kappa. Then you got Twerfs and you got Donovan Smith. They're tight. They're tight. And Donovan Smith is kind of the leader. I'm noticing that. They were coming by, walking by us. They come walk right by us, media, on Friday. Well, they do it every day, and they go over to their position area. And Donovan Smith is usually the last one out. And it's usually Kappa and then Marpet. And then they also got Josh Wells. And then and Kappa does this thing where he does these, he turns and he does like a couple of little jumping jacks while he's running. They do the same thing. I'm noticing that they say baseball players are you know, creatures of habit and do the same thing. Like Wade Boggs ate the chicken every day. Football players are the same way. They do the same routine. And Donovan Smith was trailing. Finally, he comes walking out and he goes, hey, none of you mother effers told me it was time to come out. And then, none of you guys told me, blah, blah, blah. And, but there, it's more of a busting balls. You know what I mean? Heavily busting balls. But like, just noticing and watching, like, Donovan Smith and Ryan Jensen. Ryan Jensen does his own thing. It was funny because somebody asked Ali Marpet this week, hey, you know, it's communication, the O-line, when it's clicking, you guys are in each other's heads, right? And Marpet goes, I don't think I want to know what's in Jensen's head. And I thought that was funny, but they're busting balls and they're getting along. One other thing, the St. Pete bucket hat, Mike Evans jersey wearing fan, that was right there at the stadium, right there in the end zone, sitting in the end zone area when Mike Evans went over and accidentally just, Evans is such a good guy, just gave that 600 touchdown ball away. This guy, when it came down to Monday, talking about reaction, there were so many fans. You asshole. You could have made all that money. All I can say is, and I thought about it myself, what would I do? Because my wife and I actually were sitting in the stands for the first half just to get that feel. I hadn't done that in a while. And then I went up top to the press box. And then I went down for them coming off the field, you know, all that jazz. But what would you do? She even asked me. And I'm like, You don't know until you're in that, caught up in that environment, because it all happens so quick. Evans gives you the ball. Everybody's going crazy. Oh, my God. And then all of a sudden, here comes a Buccaneer staff member. And then the CBS cameras and everybody is focusing on you. And the crowd is around you. And, like, you got to make a split decision. What do you do? Tom would like that ball back. We'll give you another football. We'll get it signed. We'll give you a jersey. We'll give you that. Tom would like that ball. Tom Brady wants that ball. And you're a Buccaneer fan. And he was wearing a Mike Evans jersey. And he elected to give it back. I don't know. Like, boy, you can. Now, there's been a mixed opinion on how much that ball is worth. It started at about 300, 400, 500,000, and estimated probably about 500,000. There are some experts that follow this stuff with memorabilia, because I guess the memorabilia market right now is really, really hot. Did you know that? I don't get it, but it is. And so there are some experts that follow this thing that think that that football, that 600 touchdown by Brady, is worth between $2 and $3 million. So what it has come down to is now the Buccaneers, they gave this fan two signed Tampa Bay Buccaneer jerseys, a signed Buccaneer helmet, $1,000 to the pro shop, two season tickets for the rest of this season and for next season, one Bitcoin that's worth $62,000, Mike Evans jersey and cleats, and there could be even more. And Brady goes, he's doing very well. I know Gronk was involved with something else, giving him something else. So in the end, 62, the season tickets, it's over 125, you know, 1,000. But what would you do? You don't know. You really don't know until you're caught up in that minute, and you got to make a decision like Brady did within, you know, 2.51 seconds. Well, a little bit more than that. But it's really, really interesting because everybody is a Monday morning quarterback. All right. I'm trying to think of what else. That's my main thing. I mean, I was going to go around the NFC or the NFL. See, the NFL schedules, you listen to this at different times. There are some of you that listen like the night before, 24 hours before, game day, like Port Richie Lou says, game day, game day. You might listen game day. You might listen 2 hours before. That's why I stay away from the 1 o'clock games. 4 o'clock games today. Patriots, Chargers. All right? Mac Jones, 2 touchdown passes. His first 300-yard game, 54-13 over the Jets. They're feeling it. Harris and J.J. Taylor ran for 2 touchdowns each. The Chargers, I thought the Chargers were it. The Chargers, the Ravens shut down Justin Herbert, 34-6. Ravens have won 5 in a row. They're good. The Chargers came up empty first 5 of their possessions. The week before, the Chargers scored 47. You see what I mean? So anyway, Pats at the Chargers. The other 4 o'clock game, the Jaguars at the Seahawks. Neither team's going anywhere. Of course, the Bucs and the Saints. Another 425 game, Washington at the Broncos. The Broncos are a mess. Now, they started 3-0, but who did they beat? The Giants, the Jags, and the Jets. You see what I'm talking about? Denver's favored by 3. Taylor Heineke is a dual threat. This kid is pretty damn good. I think I've listened to some of his interviews. He's Washington put up 430 yards versus the Packers. Third time this year that the Washington football team has put up over 400 yards of offense. And the Vikings are playing fairly well as well. When you look at that, Kirk Cousins good. You got a healthy Dalvin Cook. The defense, you know, so I don't know. Sunday night game, Cowboys. Washington is with the Broncos. Cowboys at the Vikings. The Vikings, like I say, are playing pretty good. They're 3-3. Dallas is favored by 2.5. Dak Prescott has got a calf injury. So it all depends on Dak Prescott. But the Cowboys offense, most per outing at 34 points a game and 460 yards a game, that's the most in Cowboys history. The MVP, the run game, best since 1981. So again, it all depends on Dak Prescott and that calf injury. And the Monday Night Football game is the Giants at the Chiefs. We pretty much know that story. The Giants are 2-5, and the Chiefs are 3-4, and there you go. All right, this Bucs kickoff, it's always 24 hours before every Buccaneer game. I put my heart and soul into this thing. I don't know if you can tell. I give you as much as I can give you by being there every day during the week. All right? And it's brought to you by a business that puts their heart and soul into it, run by Sean Sullivan, and that is Bill Curry Ford. It's BillCurryFord.com. It's Sean Sullivan. It is a nationwide lifetime warranty on new and used vehicles, and they give a Joe Bucks fan discount. So if you're in the market or thinking about buying, leasing, or wanting your vehicle serviced right, you go to Bill Curry Ford Tampa, BillCurryFord.com. Wow. I cannot wait. Jameis, Kamara, DeMario, Cam Jordan, Sean Payton, Halloween, Superdome, GOAT, defense. Let's do this thing. Enjoy the game.